Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for life. Thank you that we're able to be together once again in your house. Dear God, we commit now this time to you. And ask, dear God, for your leadership, Lord, in what we're about to say and what we do today. I pray everything that we say and do will honor you. Even those that are sick, those that are not here, or those that are here, maybe they're not feeling good. I pray for them that you will bless them today. Lord, may you help us now as we go through this time together. God, again, just give us what we need, Lord, in our life for this day and for this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for praying for my wife. I'm glad she's back to church today. But continue to pray for her. She's still very weak. But I thank God for your prayers and your cards and all that you've done for her this past week. Okay, today again we're talking about God's people building relationships. We talked about, of course, having a relationship with God, how to build a relationship with God, how to build a relationship with the husband and wife, how to build a relationship last week with the family. Now we're talking about building a relationship with God's people. Aren't you glad we have the church? Aren't you glad God has designed such a thing as the church that we as believers can be together weekly and two or three times a week and come together and just to sit under the Word of God and study God's Word and fellowship and pray and be a big family? I thank God for the church. I really do. Thank God that we have the church and the church that God has given here. As a family, we can do just that. God's people, building relationships is so important. Church relationships, are not built on saying that we should do so and so, okay? Church relationships are built on doing what Christians ought to do, what we ought to do. We see also that relationships in a church should be set forth for others by examples, by examples. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 15, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." What an example he has given to us. We have the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to follow his steps also. Now, building relationships in a church are very important. Again, I thank God for the church. First of all, I'd like to say this. You know, you think about what it would be like without a church. Without a church. And I think about sometimes when things happen to people that I personally know that are not Christians. And I say to myself, you know, that's a little bit about what it would be like without a church. To know what they're going through and know they have really no help. They have no one to really rely upon, that they are relying upon, and they're in dire need, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize what it's like to have a church. But you know, let's don't take the church for granted, okay? And building relationships are very important. But have you ever thought there could be no church? There could be no church until, first of all, that it was purchased with Christ and his blood on Calvary. There would be no church. But Jesus Christ purchased his church for you and I. He shed his blood on Calvary that you and I could have forgiveness of sin, and we could be part of the great thing we know as the church, the family of God. There could be no church apart from the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary for our sins. Let's don't forget that, folks. That's very, very important. Also, there would be no church until he arose from the grave to give the church the resurrection life. He gave us life. You know, we've been quickened by the Spirit of God, made alive, the Bible tells us. And until Jesus Christ rose from the grave, this life was not available. But because he arose, you and I can live also. We can live this abundant life. We can live this resurrected life that he has given to us. Also, there will be no church until he ascended to be the head overall for the church. He ascended to be the head overall for the church. And that's where he is today. He is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And also we see there'll be no church until, of course, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God there formed into a body by the baptism of the Spirit of God, the church that we know today. Thank God we have the church. But look what it's cost our God. What's it cost Jesus Christ? It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. Yet, we see here now, it's important for us as children of God to have a relationship that will be worthy of what he's done for us, of what he's done for us. We see it's very important. Church relationships, again, are not built about talking about what we should do as Christians, but relationships are built, are made because of what we do as Christians, what we are doing as Christians. And our examples are so important today. Our examples are so important as we look at this. Now, first of all, we see faithful attendance to church. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but do so more as we see the day approaching. Habitual church attendance is so important as an example of building relationships with church and people in church. It's very good. See, if we do not as children of God come to church faithfully, we're breaking the very command of God. Breaking the very command of God, because he instructs us to do this as his children. But also we see that habitual attendance to church is a great help to us. It's a great help to us, and it's also a privilege that we have. It's good to be able to come to God's house. It's a great help to have one another to fellowship with, to talk to, and to pray for. It's a great help to attend church faithfully. I know back when I got hurt last year and I was out of church, it bothered me. I mean, it bothered me very much that I was not able to be in God's house because I wanted to be here, you know? But I couldn't because of physical problems that I were having, you see. But it showed me the importance then of being here faithfully, being in God's house faithfully. You look around you today and you see people that are not here for various reasons. We don't know why. I hope it's not something sincere, sickness and all this, but we need to pray for these dear people because it's very important to be in church faithfully. It's a great help to us. It's a privilege to us. We exhort one another when we come to church faithfully. We edify one another when we come to church faithfully. You see, you come to church on Sunday morning, you're talking amongst yourselves, amongst one another, and it's encouraging to one another to know, hey, we're here together for the same reason. We're here together to worship the Lord. We're here together to praise God for all his blessings, you see. So it's very important to be faithful to church. And also, it's a good thing to be faithful to church to watch over one another. To watch over one another. You look around you today. You look in front of you. You look behind you. Look beside you. Would you do that? Now, you see, you know somebody might have been here last Sunday that's not here, right? You may observe someone that's not here today that was here last week. Now, being here faithfully, we may not realize this, but subconsciously, we're watching over one another. Some of you have already said this. You know, I wonder where so-and-so is. They're not here today. You know, they're normally here, but they're not here today. I wonder where they are. You said that to yourself. And in doing that, what you're going to do, hopefully God's going to remind you throughout the week and you're going to be praying for them. You're going to be praying for them. And if they miss another Sunday, I hope God will do more than just ask us to pray for them, but God will ask us somehow to contact them. You know? Maybe give them a phone call. See, watching over one another. That's what happens when we are faithful in God's house. We get a concern about those that are not here. Because we know something's going on. Something's going on. They're normally here, you know. Therefore, it's very good to be faithful to God's house. Faithful to God's house. I love to be in church. Most of you I know do because you're here. You're here every Sunday. Thank God for faithful people that come to God's house. Amen. That's what encourages the teachers and the preachers and those that are here. And you encourage one another by being here. Your brother this morning come up to me and just to say thank you for what you do. I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you get down. We all do. Thank God we have one another to encourage, to edify, you know, to strengthen through our prayers. And I know most of you know Sister Laura had surgery this past week on her knee. Of course, she's not here. But just to show you, just to show you what a faithful servant of God wants to do, a sister of God, maybe I should say, wants to do, she called Thursday or Friday, I don't know, and talked to Betty. And Betty called me, and she said, Sister Laura's not going to be here, you know, Sunday morning, but she called and wanted you to know that she wanted her 8 visitation counts to be counted today.
Amen.
Now, that's faithful. Amen. Even though she's not here physically, she wanted her visitation counts to be counted today. That's what you call being faithful, folks. Her mind is here. She ain't here, but I guarantee her mind is here right now, watching, listening, praying for this Sunday school class and this church service today. See, when you habitually do something, you just think about it all the time. You think about it all the time. Just like we all think about eating all the time, don't we? Amen. All of us do, because it's something we do habitually. But when we come to church faithfully, as we ought to come, it's part of our life. It's part of our life. We live that way every day. And on Sunday, hey, we know we're going to be in God's house. And what a privilege it is. Thank God for the church. I'm talking about the local assembly of those that have been born again, been blood washed, born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that believe in the Bible, believing as the Bible is God's infallible word, and you want to come and you want to hear it, listen, you want to hear it taught and preached, that you might grow and be fed spiritually from the Word of God, that you might be strengthened for this week and the things that you've got to face in your life. Thank God for the church that glorifies Christ, that worship the Lord. We come to worship the Lord. We come to have communion and to believe the Bible. To believe the Bible. That's the most important thing, to believe God's Word. The church also is to is an evangelistic outreach to the world that we know about. The church is concerned about the lost. The church is concerned about those that are sick. Those that are hurting, you see, like those that are lost, the church is concerned about. And also the church is concerned about the maturity of the believers. Growing the believers. Maturity is when we forget about who we are ourselves. We start thinking about other people, their needs and what they are. We start living for Christ. We start loving one another and praying for one another. We start spending time in God's Word and praying that God might mature us. That's where our really maturity comes, is spending time with God, alone with His Word. And then after we get the Word of God in, let's give it out. Give it out, you see. Don't just hover it in, but give it out to people that we come in contact with weekly and daily in our life. I've said before, our relationship with God affects others, and our relationship with others affects God also. So no matter who we are, we see that our relationship with God is very, very important in our lives. And I thank God today that He's enabled us through His Word to have that relationship. Now turn in your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. What is the key to relationships? What is the key? I believe if there is one verse of Scripture that we could read together and hiding our hearts together that would help us with our relationships, is the verse we're going to read. We read it before. We talked about it before. And it's very, very important. If it is my relationship with God, if it's my relationship with my spouse, if it's my relationship with my family, or my relationship with my church family, I believe this is the key. This is the key to having a good relationship. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, and look down at verse number 21. What's that first word? submitting. Notice it says submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves. Very, very important here. One to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We said before, and I'll say again today, submitting is very, very important here. Submitting is God's will, isn't it? Submitting is God's order. For us as individuals, as children of God, submitting is very important to us. Now the scripture says submitting, it says, are yourselves one to another. In other words, we owe it one to another to submit ourselves one to another. That's what God is saying here. We are to submit one to another. If it's between me and God, if it's between me and my spouse, if it's between me and my family, if it's between me and my church family. See, we're to submit one to another. One to another. Okay? Now notice it says how we're to do that. In the fear of what? Who? God. In the fear of God. And that's not in the terror of God, but that's in the obedience to God, in reverence to God. Okay? Because of who He is and what He's done for us. We're to submit ourselves unto one another in the fear of God. Submitting is very, very important. Sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we want to be our own selves, you know. We're not submitting one to another in love and other things that we're going to talk about briefly this morning. But notice here we see that it's very important that we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, notice here, first of all, a good relationship requires some things. Number one, a good relationship requires love. Love. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. A good relationship requires love. Love is so important in relationships. Love is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not what? Charity. That's love. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I am nothing. What I'm saying is vain. It's vanity. I don't speak it in love. I don't speak it in love. So we see here that a good relationship requires love. Now, how is love expressed? Love is expressed by our actions. Okay? Love is expressed by our movements. Love is expressed in many ways towards one another. Love is expressed in our attitudes. The way we think, the way we talk around people is very, very important. So we see this thing about communication, this thing about building relationships at church. And again, we can apply it in any area in our life. But a good relationship requires love. It requires love. That's submitting one to another in the fear of God. Our actions, our movements, our attitudes are very, very important in building relationships with one another. Building relationships with one another. Love also, not only is expressed, but love also, it wants to give. Love wants to give. Love wants to help. Love wants to encourage. Love wants to edify one another. So love is a key here to building relationships. Building relationship is loving. Loving. I trust that God will give me a loving heart, a loving mind towards my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, not only that, but everybody. Everybody. You know, people in the world today, we all like to be loved, don't we? We all like to be loved. Now, we can reach out in many ways and show our love towards each other. We can. It's not only by words, it's by our movements, our attitudes, by the things we do. I mean, you know, we can show our love to many people in different ways. And we have to be conscious and have discernment about sometimes how to show love towards some people. How to show love towards some people. And so we see that love is required in a good relationship. Love is required. Also, we see not only is love required, but forgiveness is. Forgiveness is required in a good relationship. We have to be willing to forgive. How many times have I said in my life, I'm sorry I was wrong? And yet, how many more times will I have to say the same thing? I'm sorry I was wrong. But you know, I have to have that forgiving heart. I have to have it to build a relationship with people. I have to be willing to say, hey, I am wrong. I am sorry I was wrong. Now, is that hard to say? Yes, it is. But we have to do that. We have to do that. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Very familiar verses, but we need to look at it again. What God says about this thing of forgiving. Forgiving is so important in the life of us as believers. Sometimes we become unhappy. We become very unhappy when we have an unforgiving spirit. You know that? We're very unhappy. You observe people that are always contrary, ill, upset. You remember this. These people, kind of people, have a hard problem forgiving. They have a hard problem forgiving because it musters up within them. They don't want to admit that they've done wrong or whatever you say, unforgiving. We're unhappy because we unforgive. Now, all it is, when we don't forgive, it breeds up in us what we call bitterness. Bitterness. See, unhappiness can become bitterness in our hearts, in our lives, and we need to guard this. You know, we're all getting older. I know I am. I don't want my life to go down as a bitter old man. I don't want to be that. God knows my heart. I don't want to be a bitter old man. But I've seen some of them, and you have too. And it's simply because they haven't been willing to forgive. 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 I've heard stories of man and wives going on trips, traveling miles, 3 or 4 hours at a time, and not speaking to one another the whole trip. My, what good am I? I can't imagine that. You know, not being willing to forgive. Forgive. God wants us to forgive. God wants us to forgive. Sometimes we're not going to have victory until we learn to forgive. Look in 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19. Says we love him because he first loved us. Thank God for his love. Amen. Thank God that we know what love is because he gave us the example. He gave us the example of what love is. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a what? He's a liar. That's kind of strong words, but that's what God says. You know, he says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? That's a good question, isn't it? It's impossible. It's impossible. Now look at verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Loveth his brother also. There's no way I can say I love God when I have something in my heart against my brother or my sister in Christ. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's what God says right here. We'll become unhappy. We'll get bitter. We'll get upset. All kinds of things happen to us. We feel wrong towards people because of that very thing, of not being willing to forgive. Not being willing to forgive. Someone said this, when it seems you cannot forgive, remember how much you've been forgiven. When it seems too hard to forgive, just remember how much you have been forgiven. Oh my, listen. When I think about that, God deliver me from ever not forgiving. Because I know how much he's forgiven me. I know. And yet, I don't know all he's forgiven me for. But I know he's promised to forgive me of all my sins, and I know that's a lot. That's a lot in my life. But yet I know I am to forgive others. And I can, by God's help, by God's help. And building relationships with one another as God's children, we have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to love, love one another. I'm so glad that we're part of a church that loves one another, aren't you? I'm so glad we're part of a church that forgives one another and prays for one another and edifies one another and encourages one another, no matter what's happening in our lives. You know, we're to do that. And I thank God for being a part of a church that is that way. So we see, first of all, that good relationships requires love. It requires also forgiveness. And then it also requires communication. Communication. My wife and I have to constantly communicate. We have to communicate with people we work with, our families. We have to communicate. If we do, we're going to see that love build. When we quit communicating, we see love is backing up. Backing up is not what it ought to be, what it could be. So communication is very, very important. I said last week, I believe it was, we need to learn to listen. Listen to people when they talk to us. Listen. With all our heart. Not talk when they're talking, but listen when they're talking, okay? Learning and knowing, we have to know what to say, and we need to know how to say it to communicate. How to say it when communicating. Because I said last week, how we say something is just as important as what we say when we're communicating with people. Because we know, you know, it can be very offensive or defensive to people if we don't say it the way we ought to say it. I like Jeremiah 33:3. Says, call unto me and I will answer thee. I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank God for that today. We can call upon the Lord and we know that he's going to help us in what we're to say in our lives day by day. So what am I saying today? Relationships with God's people is very important. I'm glad for love. I'm glad for forgiveness. I'm glad for communication in our lives as God's children. And it's good to know that we are this way. You know, outside opposition will destroy a ministry. Well, outside opposition will unify a ministry, to be right. Outside people talking will unify a ministry. But inside will tear up a ministry. It'll destroy a ministry. You know that? I'm thankful today that God's people, when we love one another as we ought to love one another, there will be none of that inside. There will be none inside. I thank God for that today. God's people, a local assembly of children of God, must build good, godly relationships to let the world know that the body of Christ is in unity. Is in unity. They discern, they know what's going on. They really do. And I'm thankful today that we have the Word of God to help us as God's children to build that kind of relationship that God would have us to build. You know, when we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school and church, it's wonderful to get out of the world for a little bit, isn't it? It's wonderful to know that I can sit down and I don't have to worry about what I'm going to hear. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to see. You know, it's going to bring honor to God. Folks, this is a blessing. This is a privilege that we have. Let's don't take it lightly. Let's don't take it for granted. Because we have this place we can come, and we can come together as a church. This building is not a church, it's a building. But you are the church. You're the church. And when we come together, unites our hearts together in love and focusing upon Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see that we're going to form a relationship that we've never known before. We've never known before. You know, I'm glad, and I know you are too, as many people have said, if I have a need in my life, if I have a need in my life, I can call somebody in this church I know, and if they can help me, they will. I know that. I thank God for that, you know. I'm thankful that I don't have to depend upon somebody in the world to help me whenever I need help. Even though sometimes God will send somebody by, you know. I know one time my wife and I, we were up in a place and my car gave out. And I pulled over in a parking lot there in a little shopping area. And my car, the steam was rolling out of the hood and everything else. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll get out and see what it is. And I got out and I raised the hood and I saw what the problem was. And I said to myself, Lord, you know, I can't fix this. I can't fix this. I don't know where to even start, you know. And I began to talk about it, and you know, and lo and behold, a guy come by on a car and said, do you need some help? And of course, I said, yes, you know. And the guy, he come around, you know, he drove up, he drove his car, and looked at my situation. He says, well, I'm going to try, but I don't know if I can help you or not. He tried for maybe 5 or 10, 15 minutes. He couldn't do it. Had to put a belt back on. It's got all these pulleys, you know. You got to have them lined up right and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I tell you what, I can't do this, but I know somebody that can. He said, if you'll call him, I can call him, and he'll come right here, and he'll fix it for you. I said, I never heard of that within myself, you know. And he said, can you call him? I said, yeah, what's his number? I called the guy. I gave my phone to him. He called the guy. And the guy was somewhere else. He said, I'll be there in about 45 minutes. And this is the guy I had never met before in my life that pulled up to talk to me. The guy that he called I never met before in my life. You know? In about 45 minutes, he came. He came, he looked at my car. Within 5 minutes, he had it fixed. Because he knew what to do. He knew what to do. Put a belt on. That's simple, isn't it? Like putting a belt on a ride alone, more simple, right? But he put the belt on, you know. And I cranked up the car, and he said, I think you'd be okay, but you might need to have it checked. You know, sometime in a few days, have to go down to the car dealer and let them look at it, you know. But what I'm saying, he fixed my car. Two people I never met before in my life, they helped me. And to this day, the guy that I called to come to help me, I can call him when I have a problem with my car. I don't care where I'm at. If I'm at home, if I'm on the road somewhere, I can call him, and he'll come as soon as he can to help me. He's a Christian. He's a Christian, you know? And I thank God for that. People like that, that God puts in your life, you know? What a blessing it is, you know, to be able to have that relationship with people, you know, that you can depend upon one another. I'm glad for the relationship we have, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. It's nothing that I have done. It's only God's own Son, what He's done for me, what He's done for you. We have this great relationship today as a family, the family of God. Thank God for your family. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the church family that you have that we can rely upon and look up to and love and respect and labor together for the cause of Christ while we have time on this earth. Father, thank you today for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for relationships that we've been talking about, Lord, for several weeks now. And Lord, we know that we have good relationships because of you. You love us, and you've taught us and enabled us to love one another. And we thank you for that today. Lord, do be, Lord, with each one that's here today. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to our hearts through this thing of relationships, of love, forgiveness, communication. And God, make us what we ought to be to bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord, for the love that's here. Lord, the concern that's here for one another, for souls of men. Thank you for the Word of God that brings us together to grow, God, as we learn from your Word weekly as we come to your house. God, I pray now, Lord, as we go into the next hour, that you bless our preacher. Lord, anoint him afresh and anew. Give him wisdom, give him power. Lord, he needs to preach to us what you've laid upon his heart. If there's one in our midst that don't know Christ as Savior, Lord, they really don't know what love is. God, I pray the Spirit of God would draw them to you today before it's too late. Bless the singing. May all that we do here today bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.